It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Thank you for joining us. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. And we are getting closer to rookie minicamp here at the Timex Performance Center. And the Giants rookies will report on Thursday, minicamp Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we'll get a first look at the newest members of the New York Football Giants. The Giants did draft 7 players, and joining us to talk about it is my good buddy Danny McGoyan out of All Access New York. Danny, you joined us before the draft, and now we can talk a little bit about who the Giants did pick in this year's draft. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, John, and happy to change the conversation from the NBA playoffs, if you know what I mean.
Well, after that game yesterday, the Knicks continue to play just as poorly as it did against Boston, unfortunately for them. Indiana, the much better team, and that's how you lose basketball games, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. All right, let's jump on the Giants draft here real quick. We talked before the draft, and I think Justin Pugh is actually one of the guys you talked about. The Giants ignoring the arms issue that a lot of teams, I suppose, were scared away by. What type of player do you think Justin Pugh is?
Justin Pugh is a kid I like a lot. I mean, having a brother who went to Syracuse, I probably pay a little more attention to Syracuse, not just during the draft process, but even throughout the season, more than the average football viewer. Obviously, that program's been down for a few years now. But I remember even as a sophomore, the first 2 or 3 times I saw this kid play, saying, this kid, I think, is going to be an NFL player and has the potential to be a first-round pick. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, you know, some people think maybe they reached a little bit with this pick, that maybe he wasn't worthy of going that high simply because, one, you mentioned, he's got the short arms. Okay. Only 32 inches. He's got short arms. Maybe that might have impacted him in terms of keeping guys away from his body. And he doesn't have the elite measurables. You know, he doesn't have elite size. He doesn't have elite athleticism. Nothing that's off the charts. But, you know, everything to me, except for the arms, is above average. You know, he does have good size. He's got a frame where I think he can get bigger and stronger. And he does move pretty well. You know, he may not be an elite athlete, but he's a pretty darn good athlete. He's got quick feet. He can mirror pass rushers. So I really like this pick a lot. You know, maybe he can't be a left tackle, but I see no reason why he can't be a right tackle in the NFL. I think right now he steps in. He could definitely pass protect at that level, at the NFL level. You'd like to see him get a little bigger. You'd like to see him get a little stronger. I think that would make him better as a run blocker. Right now, he's more of kind of like a director as a run blocker. He's not really going to overpower anybody. He's not going to drive them back 5-6 yards like you'd like to see. He's not that dominant road grader type, but I think he can improve on that. And considering his intangibles, his work ethic, everything you hear about him is he puts in the time on the practice field, in the film room. He's a smart kid. He's known as a quick learner. He knows what's going on the field. So I see no reason why he's not going to fulfill his potential. That's one of the things you need to realize is, hey, you know, player X may have a higher ceiling than Pugh, but if he never reaches that ceiling, well, what's the difference? I think Pugh's the kid that's going to max out his potential, and I think he's going to fit in very nicely with the Giants, and he's going to be a guy that Coughlin's really going to love.
And you I'm sorry, Danny.
Yeah, I was going to say, not just because they went to the same school.
And so you think he's smart enough, polished enough, and because of where he played and the type of offense he played in college, that he is ready and he should be able to start in year number one as a rookie?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's pretty polished and ready to go. And you know, considering the competition, I would be very, very disappointed and somewhat surprised if he doesn't end up as a starter. The debate is he a tackle, is he a guard? I think ideally the Giants want to see him win that tackle spot, and I think he can play there. I think you can make the case that maybe his upside is higher as a guard. You know, could he be, let's say, you know, a guy that comes to mind is like a Marshall Yanda out of Iowa, who's a highly productive college player, didn't have the longest arms, you know, can't play left tackle. Is he a right tackle? Is he a guard? You know, he slipped further in the draft than Pugh did, and he ends up being a Pro Bowl guy at a guard. So if you're looking for him to turn into a Pro Bowl guy, it's probably more likely to happen at guard than tackle. But I see no reason why he can't win that right tackle spot and make this team a little bit better heading into 2013.
All right, let's jump to the defensive line. That's where the Giants went their next two selections. Let's start in order and go with the second-round pick first. John Hankins, and he's a guy that I think, Danny, if the draft was 2 or 3 months ago, he could have been a first-round pick. He is freakishly athletic for a guy of his considerable size. And as we talked about before the draft, the one issue the Giants had this year was stopping the run. And big John Hankins, if there's one thing he can do, it's eat up space and stop the run.
Yeah, I mean, Big John is a big boy. I mean, the word that comes to mind to me is robust. I mean, he could just fill up the middle and be an impact run stopper, you know, in the NFL. And if that's what the Giants are looking for, I think that's what they got with this pick. And he's an intriguing guy, getting him at 49. Like you said, if the draft was a couple months ago, he might have been a first-round pick. I also envision, you know, he's a kid that left school early. If he came, you know, if the Giants had to draft this guy in 12 months in the 2014 draft, I wouldn't be surprised if he was a top 20 pick, you know, if he came back and put in the work in the offseason and improved as a senior, because he's still a guy that hasn't reached that ceiling either. You know, he's got a lot of talent, as you said, tremendous size, good athlete. He moves his feet extremely well for a kid that big, and he's more agile than you'd expect when you just look at him. But at the same time, I think he has room for improvement in his game, and some people want to see if he can work a little harder in that weight room, maybe get in a little better shape, maybe, you know, get rid of that gut a little bit and improve that stamina as well. You know, there's times where you saw him kind of tire and wear down as games went along, so you'd like to see him put in a little bit more from that perspective, and I think that could have seen his draft stock rise. You know, the one question with him is he ever going to be a true impact three-down player? Well, you know, most people view him very limited in terms of his potential as a pass rusher. He might be able to kind of push the middle up a little bit, flush the quarterback out, but he's rarely going to get you that sack. But as you said, the Giants needed help stopping the run, and that's exactly what he's made for. He's a run stopper. And, you know, I think it's a great spot for the kid, for Hankins, where he's going to. I think it's a great locker room to go into and kind of maybe get that work ethic off the field, because he does play hard. He's never been questioned in terms of his effort. You know, obviously the stamina is an issue, but when he's there, the effort's there. Now, you know, I think it's a good spot for him in terms of the Giants have some vets at that position. So he's not going to be force-fed before he's ready onto the field. He's going to have to earn his playing time. And if he does get on the field, I think he could, along with Joseph, could really be a nice combo in terms of giving the Giants those two big run stoppers up the middle.
Yeah, you mentioned his stamina, and to me, in the NFL, I'm not sure if that's going to be an issue for him, because the way the NFL works, Danny, as you well know, you're shuttling in people on that defensive line all game long. You really don't have three-down players anymore except for your superstars. He's a guy that right. All you're going to need him for is first or second down. You can shuttle him off the field in all two-minute drill situations, in all third and long, second and long situations. So if he can play his 40 snaps a game, 30, 40 snaps a game, and stop the run well on first and second down, I think the Giants and any other team with a player like him, Jesse Williams, a guy from Alabama, another guy like that, I think he'll be pretty happy with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally. I mean, people think at this level, you know, at that second round, you need to get a three-down guy. But as you said, this is such a specialized league right now. There are very few three-down players. So if you can get a guy who can be a dominant two-down player, there's nothing wrong with that. You did pretty good there. And, you know, yeah, maybe he won't give you the 50, 60 plays, but if he gives you 30 plays and they're 30 elite dominant plays, he's going to help you win football games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Another guy that Giants will help win some football games is DeMontre Moore. They nicknamed him the Monster, 27 sacks in 3 years in college. But there are some red flags on this kid. Another guy who could have been drafted a lot higher if the draft was a couple of months earlier, say in February. But he has a lot of production. He has skills as a pass rusher. I think the Giants could value in round 3, Danny. how do you see him adjusting to the pro game with his athleticism, but also maybe some of his physical limitations and his problems in the classroom and maybe on the practice field a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, excellent value with this pick at number 81. You know, there's very few people, if they rank players, wouldn't have more ranked higher than 81. So I think they got great value. And as we know, you know, we even talked about this before the draft. Everybody knows Jerry Reese loves himself some defensive end slash edge pass rushers. So he got good value by grabbing one in the third round. And you know, he's an intriguing guy in the sense of, as you said, a couple months ago, before the whole workout process started, before the combine, you know, not only was Moore pegged as a potential first-round pick, you saw a lot of people having him top 10, even top 5, as that top pass rusher in this draft, you know, ahead of the Anses and the Mingos of the world. So he really did a big slip and slide, and part of it is his lack of, you know, workout production, the big workout numbers, and part of it is, I think once you see that, then all of a sudden that illuminates that immaturity question mark, that work ethic question mark. And those are the type of things that teams will overlook much more if you have that elite, eye-popping workout numbers that only a few guys have. So once you don't have that, now all these little warts, they start to, you know, shine a little brighter in the eyes of talent evaluators. So, you know, the question with Moore is how much emphasis do you put on the workouts, which was kind of underwhelming? How much emphasis do you put on his production on the field? The kid was extremely productive the last couple of seasons. He showed some versatility in terms that he can be a stand-up outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. Every team likes to mix it up a little bit, at least, and as well as a hands-on-the-ground defensive end. You know, he's not that superb athlete that a lot of people thought he was going to test out to be the way he produced, but he does have a quick first step. He's very smooth for a defensive lineman. He moves well left to right, and he's got that closing speed once he gets close to the quarterback. That's something that you can't, you know, I don't know how you measure that. You can't measure that. It's almost like that last 3 yards of the 40 dash, that guy who can spell the finish line and just knows how to get there. And, you know, this is one of those things is if you want to give him a positive, you can say the kid never gives up on a play. He plays parts of the whistle. He's always fighting to get to the quarterback. And when you have these scrambling quarterbacks that, you know, like to move around in the pocket and buy time, he can kind of get those sacks that aren't that immediate sack where he beat his man. Now, some people may downgrade that and say, well, you know, that was more of like a coverage type sack. But hey, you know, a sack is a sack. So if he keeps fighting and gets to the quarterback, to me, that's a bonus. I like to see that from the kid. Now, you know, as we alluded to, he does have those kind of off the field issues, and that'll be interesting to see what happens in the Giants locker room. As you know, Coach Tom Coughlin, you know, doesn't really tolerate that type of stuff in terms of, you know, being an immature guy or not really putting in your honest days of work. So that's something that, in my opinion, either it's going to get cleaned up quickly or this kid's going to end up in the doghouse quickly. And I think eventually he's going to be a productive pass rusher. The biggest question mark is, once again, is how much of a productive player is he going to be as an every down guy? I don't really love his upside in terms of being a run stopper. So in a way, he kind of could be a good replacement for an OCU Manura,
right,
who was a little bit of a one-trick pony in terms of getting to the quarterback. But, hey, if that's all you can do, but you can get me, you know, if you can only get me 30 tackles with 10 of them are sacked, I think I'll take it.
No question. He could be another guy. You know, when you rotate Hankins out, maybe you rotate Demontre Moore in, you move somebody else inside, and there's your first, second, and third down players. You almost combine them with your second and third round draft picks.
Exactly. And that's one of the things I like with Hankins, too, is, as we said, you know, even though he doesn't have that pass rush potential, hey, how often do the Giants even want their defensive tackles on the field in pass rushing situations? They love to get as many defensive ends on the line in obvious passing situations, and I think Moore can be one of those guys that can contribute in those scenarios.
No question. All right, let's talk about Ryan Nassib. You've watched Syracuse a lot, Danny. As you mentioned, the Giants move up to pick this guy. The Giants had a second-round grade on him. I know a lot of NFL teams had a second-round grade on him, but he drops to round 4. The Giants pick him. What are the Giants getting in Ryan Nassib?
Well, it's kind of a weird pick and an interesting pick. I think he's the type of guy that you want to really like. You know, he's extremely, extremely smart. He's an unselfish kid. He's got the reputation of being a hard worker and a good leader in the locker room. He's very, very tough. But to be honest with you, John, I myself personally, watching him play, you know, multiple times, I've probably seen about a good 15, 20 of his games over the last couple of years. And while there were times, you know, watching and play USC during this past season, you know, I did kind of say, wow, I got a feeling. I think Ryan Nassib looked better than Matt Barkley in this game. You know, maybe Barkley has better numbers, but he also has two guys in Woods and Lee who are elite receivers. Syracuse doesn't have that kind of talent on the perimeter. I think Nassib made the better throws, made the tougher throws, but ultimately that might have been more of an indictment of Barkley and not a big plus for Nassib.
Right.
I'm not sold on Nassib being a starting NFL quarterback. You know, I never really watched him play and said, hey, for sure, I think this kid's going to be a starter. Does he have some of the tools to be a starting quarterback? I think he does. I don't think he has elite tools. I have questions in terms of his arm strength, getting the ball down the field. You know, he's got kind of a funny delivery. I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to pretend I'm a quarterback coach or anything like that, but he does have a little bit of an awkward delivery, which I think leads to some inconsistencies in terms of his velocity and his accuracy, especially as you go down the field. Now, I think, you know, I get what the Giants are doing. If you have a guy rated that high and, you know, he's, let's say, 40 or 50 guys compared to your next guy when you pick, I understand why you kind of feel obligated to grab him. I'm also curious, you know, to hear even what you think in terms of how does he fit long-term? Because looking at the Giants, I mean, I don't see Eli's, you know, I don't see the end of the tunnel with Eli. So I'm curious, you know, obviously he can fill in a backup role for a couple of years. I wonder if he's a guy that maybe he could be a Matt Schaub type thing where if he plays well in the preseason and they kind of develop him, maybe they could flip him into a higher pick down the road. I'm curious what they're thinking, how he's going to help the football Giants.
Yeah, honestly, I think you hit it. I think you play him in preseason. And, you know, Eli hasn't missed any regular season time, and maybe he gets some spot time in a regular season game in a blowout, or if Eli has to miss a week, whatever the case might be. And if it turns out he's a Flynn, he's a Schaub, you know, he's a Kevin Cobb, something like that, the Giants can flip him for a two or a three in a couple years. I think they do that because I agree with you. To me, he's not Eli Manning's replacement, only because Eli's playing he's playing another 7 or 8 years. So if Eli's your quarterback for 6, 7, 8 years, at that point, if Nassib was good enough to be a starter, they would have flipped him from somebody else. So he's either a long-term backup, in my opinion, or he's a guy that they'll flip. But, you know, if they think they got a value there, and I'm guessing they didn't like anybody else that they would have been had on the board in that fourth round, so I guess that's probably why they made the deal that they did.
Yeah, you got to assume that. I mean, obviously they had some needs that they didn't address in this draft. I think probably the biggest one would be linebacker. That's something we talked about prior to the draft as a potential first-round pick. You know, even the secondary, they did draft the safety, but they didn't address the cornerback position, something a lot of people thought they were going to do. So the fact that they didn't attack a bigger need and drafted the quarterback, I think obviously speaks to what they think they could get out of Mr. Nassib. And I agree. I think that's got to be how it's going to be because, I mean, Eli's there. Like you said, guy is unbelievably durable. He never misses any games. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out with Nassib. I think one thing that does play in their favor is if you do look in the next couple of drafts, I know, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is kind of a hot name. You know, people like the kid out of Alabama, the quarterback there as a senior coming out. But there aren't a ton of, you know, franchise quarterbacks in the next year or two. I don't see the next Andrew Luck or RG3 coming out, you know, maybe in the next year or two. So if that is the case and there isn't a lot of first-round value in terms of quarterbacks, if it's a similar draft to this type of draft, teams may say, hey, you know, rather than drafting a Tyler Wilson type or a Matt Barkley type in the third or fourth round, maybe I'll trade a second round pick for Nassib in the future. That could happen.
We're joined by Daniel Magoyan from allmediany.com. Final question, anything, and then we'll get to your calls, by the way, at 201-939-4513. Danny, anything jump out to you about the Giants' final three picks, Cooper Taylor, the guard, and the running back?
I'd say probably Cooper Taylor is the most interesting guy. You know, he's a some view him kind of like a tweener. Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? But I think the Giants viewed that what he did in the workout process showed that he's got enough speed and athleticism to be a safety in the NFL, and he certainly has his size. So he may have a great, intriguing physical combination that you rarely see that late in the draft. And I think what makes this such an interesting pick with the Giants is, I mean, I don't know the number off the top of my head if they use three safeties more than any other team in the league, but they're certainly up there.
Sure.
They're not hesitant to throw three safeties out there in their sub-packages. So I think they kind of have an understanding of how they're going to use this kid. It's not just, hey, we like his talent, but, hey, we like his talent and we think we know how we can use it and get him on the field. And the kid Cox is kind of an intriguing guy as well, too. I mean, you know, went to Michigan, had less than 20 carries there. He graduated, so he was able to transfer and played immediately at UMass, where he got some carries, but, you know, he didn't put up eye-popping numbers at the second level. But also another guy, good size at 220 pounds. He ran pretty well in the offseason workout, so kind of has an interesting five-speed combo for a guy you got with, I believe, the second-to-last pick in the draft. And I think, you know, the Giants feel like he's somebody that could compete for that final running back spot.
Danny, appreciate the time as always, my friend. You take it easy, and we'll talk to you next year for the draft.
Anytime, John. Had a blast.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, man. That is my good buddy, Danny McGuyan. He's from allmediany.com. Does a good job covering the Giants, Jets, and everything on New York sports as well. Thanks for holding on the phones at 201-939-4513. Get right to you. Let's start with Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, thanks for holding, pal. How are you this morning?
I'm good, John. How you doing?
Doing all right. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to talk about the draft. And, you know, my overall reaction is that the Giants did really well, and they got some good players to restock the defensive and offensive lines, especially considering, and I don't really know a lot about college football or the players, so I'm just listening to the experts. Their second and third round picks were potential first round picks.
Yeah.
So if they got them a little bit later in the draft, you know, that if we got that kind of talent, I think that really bodes well for our future. And, you know, the one other thing I wanted to mention about the draft is you know, the Giants fans were calling in about us not taking a linebacker. You know, the linebacker isn't central to the Giants scheme. Sometimes they only play two linebackers when they have the three safeties. So if the value isn't there, then there's no reason to reach, take a linebacker, especially if that's not even part of our scheme. You know, it's about defensive line and the secondary.
Heck, quite honestly, in passing situations, just here, Andrew, I wouldn't be surprised to see only one linebacker on the field with three safeties and three corners.
Yeah, I think that's the trend too. You know, it's a passing league. You have, you know, four wide receivers sometimes lining up on maybe even first down sometimes at some of these teams. So it's not surprising that the Giants would value guys who can rush the passer, and also, like you've been mentioning, and I totally agree with you that we need to shore up that run defense. And I think Tank the Tank is gonna do that. I mean, he's a big boy and he should plug up that middle.
No question. Andrew, I appreciate the call, man.
All right, thanks, John.
Thanks. 201-939-4513. Let's go to John in Connecticut. Johnny, thanks for holding, pal. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to address the situation about the whole Giants thing about, you know, not taking a linebacker in. You know, I feel that the Giants just needs that one main linebacker to hold the group together, like we had an Antonio Pierce, a Jesse Armstead, a Lawrence Taylor with the Carl Banks.
Right.
Something
right.
To complement the rest of the defensive line in the defensive back field. Our defensive backfield didn't really come up to par last year. I feel like it wasn't a talent reason why. I just felt like the whole defense, it was heart. Pierre Paul came off a subpar year, only 6.5 sacks, and he's a real monster. And I don't think his head was in it. I don't think the whole defense head was actually in it this year. I think our offense maintained enough to, you know, make a run throughout the playoffs, but it was just the absent-minded of our defense that caused a lot of situations to happen, like Corey Webster. I think he just needs a little bit more perfection on his game, because last year some of the plays he was getting blown out downfield, and it was a little bit of disappointing to watch that because he's an awesome player. And as far as the draft, I would honestly, I love the picks. Our offensive line is getting old, so you know we still need some kind of youth there. But my main thing, I would have probably went after Manti Te'o. I know I have probably not a lot of people agree with that, but he's a leader. Like, we need leaders and somebody to keep on them. Justin Tucker is a great leader. I'm not taking that. You know, we need somebody in the backfield to communicate between both sides, not just up front. So hopefully, you know, there's some few nice little linebackers out there and free agent. Hopefully Giants at least grab one or two, you know, just to help surefire our defense, because Chase Blackburn's left. He was an okay surefire leader, but we need somebody to not afraid to get in everybody, you know, to make sure we uplift our defense.
No, look, I hear you, and I agree. I think the Giants are missing somebody to communicate to everybody. Remember, and Michael Boley and Blackburn was that guy last year, so they're going to have to put that mic on somebody else, not the mic, the earpiece on somebody else to get the plays and give the plays to the defense next year. They're going to have to figure out who that player is. But I'm not sure that player was necessarily in this draft. You mentioned Te'o. I don't think he was a first-round pick. I do believe if he was available in the second round, the Giants would have taken him. But other than him, even a guy like Ogletree, I don't know if he's the guy that's going to unite, and lead your defense. So I'm just not sure that guy was in the draft, you know?
Yeah, Manti Te'o wasn't really, you know, though everybody doesn't feel like he's a bona fide leader, but the guy from the Steelers was out there for a little bit. I forgot it.
What, Jarvis Jones? Oh, James Harrison.
James Harrison, yes. He's a surefire leader. I know he's on the tail end of his career, but, you know, bringing a leader like that to help, you know, build up the up-and-coming players, because I got to admit, the play, like Williams, our linebackers, I believe his last name is Williams.
Yep, Jaquan.
Jaquan Williams, yes. I feel like he's a freak just like Pierre Paul is. But, again, you know, you have young talent with not an older head on them. So it's like they take plays on and off here and there. And, you know, hopefully they'll start grabbing the system soon. Because, again, I believe that we could have made another run to the Super Bowl last year. It was just we needed too many other things to happen. And when everybody knows as a Giants fan, if you need everything else to happen, it's not going to happen. So that's the only iffy thing about it. But as far as our opens, hopefully they get Victor Cruz back in. David Wilson scares me because of ball security. But, you know, with Coughlin as the head coach, I believe he'll do fine. And I think we should bring back Brandon Jacobs. You know, he was a great goal line person, and nobody really wants to try to hit a big guy like that. So I think that would be, if we can get him at a great price, I think that would also help us in the goal line situations.
All right, John, appreciate the call, pal.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too, man. I know a lot of people think Jacobs is going to come back, and I've heard other people around the league say it too. I don't see it. That's just me. I'd be surprised by it. I could very well be wrong. I don't have any inside information here. I'm just going on gut. It would surprise me. I'm just not sure how much he has left after not playing football for a whole year. And he clearly, you know, the organization didn't think he had a whole lot left when they let him go 2 years ago. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let him go. They couldn't negotiate that pay cut. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show, Val down in Virginia. Val, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to talk about the draft and what's on our roster and the schedule of the folks that we will be facing.
Bring it on, Val. What do you got?
The thing is, our draft, Justin Q, although I call him JPU, y'all are calling something different. He's an interesting-looking offensive lineman. He used as a fullback if he was versatile, you know, or a tight end. And I am shocked about these players that the Giants didn't draft. Martavius Mingo, DJ Hayden, Desmond Trufant, or even Tavon Austin. I didn't have him drafting Tavon Austin, but I thought they took a receiver, probably a Cordarrelle Patterson or whatever. And also, I know the Giants don't value linebackers, and to me they don't value tight ends too much, but I'm an old-school Giants fan. I grew up with the LT days, the Mark Bavaro days. We used to value our linebackers and tight ends. And speaking of tight ends, can Ben Pasco please get more balls and Henry Hanowski? Because I'm going to tell you, those teams on our schedule, including the Raiders, they are loaded with offensive weapons. And these quarterbacks that you gotta be facing, they're not scrubs. They're good quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one on that schedule that you can sleep on.
Well, Val,
and I do want to say this.
Sure.
That October 10th game with the Raiders, I feel that's a trap game because it comes on the last part, down the stretch, where the Giants usually fade out, and you never know what that division, the AFC West, gonna be looking like.
No, Val, I hear you, but don't sleep on Brandon Myers. I know he's not a big name. I think you're going to be very impressed with the job Brandon Myers does this year at tight end. I think he has good hands.
He'll
be a good target.
I
think he's going to be good.
I saw him play when the Raiders played the Atlanta Falcons in the Georgia Dome, and they almost beat them.
Yeah. No,
he played good.
Myers can play.
Yeah, he can. But I like Ben, too. I just think Ben should get the ball a little more. That's going to help out. Chase Myers get hurt.
Nah, Val, I hear you. And look, that Raider game coming off the bye week on November 10th, November traditionally is, the, as you well know, as you mentioned, is the month the Giants tend to have some issues. They have three home games this year in that month, home versus Oakland, home versus Green Bay, home versus Dallas, back to back to back. So coming off that bye, which is perfectly placed in the middle of the season, the Giants will have to they can't afford to lose to a team like Oakland this year with the rest of the schedule that they have. Those types of losses are the losses that keep you out of the playoffs, and the Giants simply can't afford them.
And our division is stacked with talent. I mean, you got the Eagles, Zach Ertz, other players, the Redskins, and Dallas. They are loaded. We can't sleep. They can't. That's just too much offense for the defense to handle. That's why the Giants' offense had to step up big this year.
All right, Val, I appreciate the call.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
You have a good one. Thank you very much. Everybody, great job on the phones today. Appreciate it. Good job on Twitter, Giants Chat. Let me go through some of these a little bit. Let's see. Best potential overlooked pick is DeMontre Moore. That's from Why Conform, Ira Bell. And then he is, looks like a Wheel of Fortune Twitter icon. That's interesting. Marcus Erickson, why will we bring back Jacobs when Bradshaw is sitting out there? Would pay five times more for Bradshaw over Jacobs. Not sure I'd go five times. Remember, Bradshaw has his own weaknesses, too, with all the injuries out there. So, you know, can he stay healthy? Can he stay on the practice field? I know Mike Farmer somewhere is pulling his hair out. But he has some questions himself. Wesley Best at WesBest underscore in the middle. Think Giants find a way to put four safeties on the field? No, I don't think we're going to see four safeties on the field, Wesley. I think that's one too many. Only because if you have four safeties in the field, either one's going to get eaten up by a lineman if a team runs the ball, or if a team passes, they could get eaten up in man-to-man coverage. Guys like Cooper Taylor, can't really cover man-on-man. He's too big for that. Let's see. Any other decent questions coming in? No, nothing special. Anyway, great job, everybody. Good work. We will see you tomorrow morning at 10. I think I'm going to try to track down somebody that covered both Ryan Nassib and Justin Pugh up at Syracuse. We'll get them on. We'll take some calls with them as well, and we'll see if we can get some. You know, we talked about them as a player and how they play, and in terms of the combine and the numbers and the arm length and all that nonsense. Let's get a feel for them as guys and people and what they'll add in the locker room to the New York Football Giants. We'll try to get somebody on that covered them up at Syracuse tomorrow morning. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.